The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah as-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, inshallah azza wa jalla, today our topic is about the story of Karbala. Inshallah azza wa jalla, our muballighin, mashallah, Hafiz Kaleem Madani, Bilal Madani, and mashallah hamare Harun bhai, they will explain the story of Karbala. We have short time, but inshallah we will try to manage in this time. Definitely there are many lessons to be learned from the story of Karbala. Today, inshallah, we will take few segments as well. It's about the sunnah of the day and the wazifa. Wazifa is about read. If a person gets lost sometime, bache miss ho jate hain, log kho jate hain, what you should recite, inshallah, on that time. We will tell you in the end. Also, we will start with the blessings of Durood-e-Pak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever sends peace and blessing upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal showers mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, question of the day.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
What was the name of the mother of Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? Story of Karbala, inshallah, kya hua, kaise hua? In a very short time, inshallah, our speakers, inshallah, they will try to explain. Lekin start with a beautiful kalam, inshallah.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah. Ay kaash tasawwur chok چوکھٹ پہ تیرے سر ہو میری روح چلی ہو، اے کاش تصور میں مدینے کی گلی ہو، جس وقت نکیرے میری قبر میں آئے، جس وقت نکیرے میری قبر میں آئے، اس وقت میرے لب پہ سجیلا نبی ہو، اس وقت میرے لب پہ سجیلا نبی ہو، اے کاش تصور میں مدینے کی گلی ہو، اللہ اکرم ایسا کرے تجھ پہ جہاں میں، اللہ اکرم ایسا کرے تجھ پہ جہاں میں، جہاں میں اللہ اکرم ایسا کرے تجھ پہ جہاں میں، اے دعوت اسلام تیری دھوم مچی ہو، اے دعوت اسلام تیری دھوم مچی ہو، اے کاش تصور میں مدینے کی گلی ہو، عطار ہمارا ہے ہمارا ہے ہمارا، عطار ہمارا ہے سر حشر اسے کاش، دستے شہ بدہا سے یہی چٹھی ملی ہو، دستے شہ بدہا سے یہی چٹھی ملی ہو، اے کاش تصور میں مدینے کی گلی ہو،
سبحان اللہ، صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Without any further delay, I would like to request Hafiz Kaleem bhai to start our topic, the story of Karbala.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. سید صاحب, the topic today is the story of Karbala. In the Quran, we're told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely test people. In Surah Baqarah, verse 155, Allah ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That indeed we will test you. What kind of test? Allah ta'ala clarifies and says, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, with fear, jua, hunger, shortage of amwal, wealth, lives and provisions as well, fruits. Now, when we look at the life of Imam Hussein, and in particular this incident of Karbala, we can see an amali tafsir of this ayat taking place.
Subhan.
Meaning, there were times when there was a lot of fear. Of course, when you have less than 100 people and on the other side this above 20,000, it's a fearful situation naturally. But how you respond to that fear is what makes Imam Hussein outstanding.
SubhanAllah.
And then we look at this journey of Karbala, again we see there was a shortage of food. Water was closed off. So this ayat, when you go through it, when you do ghor, when you contemplate, you think, subhanAllah, each one of these tests occurred in the life of Imam Hussein and his followers, but they passed every single test as well. Allah Ta'ala gives glad tidings and he says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِ, and glad tidings for the patient, who whenever any affliction reaches them, what do they say? They don't complain, they don't wail, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and they submit to the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this account from beginning and end is a beautiful example of submitting yourself to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The ridha of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We hear many, many times that the pious people are those who the hardest calamities, the greatest calamities afflict them. And awliya Allah, generally speaking, we hear about them that if a calamity doesn't enter their life, they become a bit worried. What's going on? Meaning they embrace difficulties. They know this is a means of gaining qurba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some scholars beautifully say that Imam Hussein radiallahu an, each step of the way until his martyrdom, he knew that this was a way to meet the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was that road he had to cross and to enter the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So right at the beginning, we need to understand that this incident of Karbala, this tragedy of Karbala, yes, it gives us grief when we hear about it. That how could such wretched people do this to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But at the same time, there's so many lessons of patience, of istiqama, of showing your iman in the right moments as well. Now, how did this start? Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala passed away in 60 Hijri. And he was the leader of, at the time, he was the first leader after the Khulafa'i Rashidun. And we know prior to him becoming the leader, Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, he abdicated his khilafah, he gave it. And the Prophet alayhi salam predicted that as well. And he said, Ibni hadha Sayyid. This son of mine is a leader, is a master. And he will reconcile between two Muslim groups. And that's how Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an gained leadership. When Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an passed away, Yazid took control. Now Yazid was unlike his father. Amir Muawiyah is Qatib al-Wahi. So many fadail, beautiful qualities. But Yazid was far from this, meaning he didn't possess any of those qualities. He was an open sinner. He was an alcoholic. He spent most of the day drunk, fornicating. Ma'azallah, immoral activities were taking place. And he took over and then he realized that who is the biggest threat to me now? If I want to continue living like this, lawfulness, without any laws, then who are my obstacles? And then he came down to, he made the list and there were three individuals. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Zubayr, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar, and of course Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And the biggest threat he knew was Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So he sent his qasid all the way to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And in that letter, it was written that you must give bay'ah, pledge allegiance to Yazid. Now, Imam Hussein, he was well aware of the antics of Yazid, what Yazid was getting up to. Yazid was, ma'adhullah, transgressing the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sharia of the grandfather of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So he could never bring himself to give bay'ah. Because if he gives bay'ah, then that means he is supporting batil. And he could never do that because that's not part of his principles. So the governor at the time, the ruler in Medina, was the person known as Walid bin Uqba. And he tried so many different ways. He said, give bay'ah to Yazid. This is the message that has come. Imam Hussein said, never. And they said, okay, what about in private? Okay, not in front of everybody else. Just privately, just give bay'ah, then we can send the message back to Yazid that you... Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein said, "Inna mithli la yubayyi'u sayyid." People like me will give bay'ah in private. What do you think? This is not possible. I can never give bay'ah in private like that. So, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he had foresight, wisdom he possessed, subhanallah. He knew that this action of his, this reply of his, this could possibly lead to bloodshed in Al-Madinatul Munawwarah. Because if the Yazidis and Yazid is so intoxicated with power, with rule, What's going to stop him from coming to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, that sanctified city, and causing so much wrong? So Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu himself, the scholars have written, he and his family left Al-Madinatul Munawwara. This is that same city where he grew up, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would embrace him, would kiss him. That's his birthplace. So Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu is narrated, went to the Rawda Al-Mutahara of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should all picture this, because Allah, we've been as well. And that final salam, when we give salam at the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, us sinners, us lowly people, we are nothing like Imam Hussein. But even we feel it, we think, I don't know if I'm going to come back here again. Ya Rasulullah, you blessed us with this visit. This is my final salam until next time. And we're tearful, we're crying, we're emotional. But this is Imam Hussein. He would never leave the city of Madinatul Munawwara if it wasn't for something like this. Why would somebody leave the city of Madinatul Munawwara? So he's crying in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he realizes that he has no choice but to leave now. So he migrates with his family members, the children, the women folk of the Ahlul Bayt to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And that's where the next part of the story, whilst there, from around Rajab till Zulhijjah, around 5 months, Imam Hussein stays in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And there, according to some narrations, people in Kufa, who, they were fed up with Yazid, well, outwardly. And they wanted Imam Hussein to become their Khalifa, saying, oh Imam, we're ready to give bay'ah to you, we're ready to support you. Yazid is, you know, transgressing, crossing every boundary set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're fed up with him. And oh Imam, if you come, we will welcome you with open arms, and we're willing to sacrifice everything at your feet. But as the story will unfold, we see that the Kufans were not loyal. So Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, each step of the way, he's thinking, he's pondering what's the next best move. But ultimately he knows that Karbala is where he will meet his end. Because this was prophesied. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came at the time of the birth of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and informed the Prophet alayhi salam that this grandson of yours will be martyred. And then soil from Karbala was also presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was mashhoor amongst Ahlul Bayt that it was going to happen. So even in Makkah, great Sahaba were trying to advise Imam Hussein, and they had their intentions, their salih intentions. Imam Hussein knew that this journey has to be undertaken. So this was the beginning part of Allah, the journey of Karbala. Inshallah, we will continue to hear
the next part. Mashallah. Really is... Banda ab maazi ke darichon mein pahunch jaye na aur soche ki kis tarah kya cheezein thi. Bilal bhai,
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Sayyid Sahib, mashallah, beautifully explained by Ustad Kaleem Al-Madani Sahib. I'll try to keep up with that, mashallah, but it's quite difficult. So Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is now in Makkatul Mukarramah, and the people of Makkah came and they embraced Sayyidina Imam Hussein. They welcomed him into the city of Makkah. Now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is within the city of Makkah now with his family, with his companions. And what actually happens is that letters start to come in from Kufa to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is because news reached the people of Kufa that now Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in Makkatul Mukarramah. And he has not pledged allegiance, and he denies pledging allegiance to Yazid. And they themselves, inwardly in their heart, they didn't want to accept Yazid as the ruler. They knew he was not worthy, and they knew he was an oppressor, a wrongdoer. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat mentions that it's the ijma' of the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah that he was a fasiq and a fajir. He was an open sinner and a transgressor. He was one who committed major sins openly. And you can see with the things that he tried to introduce by trying to fill the role as Amirul Mu'mineen, whereas he could never do so. But Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in the city of Makkah, and it is here where he begins to acquire so many letters from the people of Kufa. They begin to mention their sentiments to Imam Hussein in the letters, that we want you to be the leader. Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu has passed away. Now his son has tried to fill in this role, but his son is not worthy. We deem you, O Imam, more worthy.
of taking role as being Amirul Mu'mineen. And they mentioned their sentiments, Sayyid Sahib. It's a lengthy discussion where the amount of letters, like Honorable Ustad Sahib mentioned as well, so many letters came to Sayyidina Imam Hussein. Now Sayyidina Imam Hussein has a dilemma, Sayyid Sahib, because there is a narration of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If anyone observes such an oppressive ruler who violates, who exceeds the limits of Allah, he is one who, sorry, he permits those boundaries of Allah which Allah has forbidden. He goes against the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is oppressive. He begins to make the unlawful lawful. What is happening, Sayyid Sahib? This is something that everybody must realize. Imam Hussein has now a dilemma, a situation. First of all, they are a group of people who are saying that they are oppressed. There is a person who's not worthy of being the leader. And thirdly, there is a person who is rightful of being the leader. In the Sharia now, it is incumbent, necessary, lazim upon the one who is worthy of being the Amir al-Mu'mineen to come and help those people. Because what will happen, if he does not do so, then he is in turn saying that he is fine with these people being destroyed by this oppressive ruler. And Imam Hussein, the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, the concept of justice came from this blessed household. There was no way that Sayyidina Imam Hussein would allow this. So now this is on one side of the spectrum. Secondly, we have the Sahaba-i-Kiram who were still alive in this time in Makkatul Mukarramah. Now they are advising Sayyidina Imam Hussein that these people of Kufa are they're not trustworthy. Your blessed father Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was such an individual, and they still were treacherous against him. They were a cause of him being martyred. They cannot be trusted. They are people that run after greed and wealth and for their own comforts. So even though the sentiments may be in the letter, but when you go on the ground level, it won't be like that. Many other different points, the Sahaba Kiram who were in Makkah, they tried to mention to Sayyidina Imam Hussein. But Sayyidina Imam Hussein had two points. Now look at the insight of Sayyidina Imam Hussein. He doesn't himself straight away go. He assesses the situation. It is necessary for me to go. These people are also treacherous. So what do I do? Let me send someone who's trustworthy from my side to go and check the situation on ground level.
SubhanAllah.
This is the wisdom of Sayyidina Imam Hussein. He's extremely smart. And this is why he sends his cousin, Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He sends Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil. He says to him, he gives him the duty to go to Kufa and see the situation there. How is the situation with the people of Kufa? And Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil takes his two sons with him. Then after this, you know, the actual story continues from Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, he is now into Kufa. He gets to Kufa. Okay. And now what is happening is, as soon as he arrives at Kufa, all the people, the Kufans, they see and they come and they kiss his hand and they pledge allegiance to him.
Allah.
And these are in the thousands, Sayyid Sahib. Thousands of Kufan people have said, we are with you. You are the representative of Sayyidina Imam Hussein. We are placing our hand in your hand to confirm that we are with you. Now that's what they said, and ground level, that's what happened. When Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil saw the jazbat physically of these people and their passion, he sent the letter then to Sayyidina Imam Hussein. He wrote the letter and said that everything is fine here. It's according to the way it was. So now the letter from Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu anhu is going. It's in the midst. It's not like today, Sayyid Sahib. We have WhatsApp and we see
within
a message.
A second, yeah.
And we can see. This took some time. So the message is going through the sky. It's going through travel. Now during this entire time, there were some people of Yazid who were obviously in Kufa as well. There's always corrupt people. There's always evil people hiding amongst the public. And what happened was that they sent a message to Yazid that what's happening here is Muslim bin Aqil has arrived in Kufa. And if people have already said that we are pledging allegiance to his hand. If you don't do something now, you being Amir al-Mu'mineen will be no longer. It will just be a dream for you. So then what did he do? He sent one of the most ruthless and evil people from Basra. He was the governor of Basra, Ibn Ziyad. And he called him from Basra. Ibn Ziyad appoints somebody else in his position. And the governor of Kufa was Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir, Sahabi Rasul. And he was no doubt a lover of the family of the Prophet. So when he saw Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil, obviously he was inclined to the whole situation. Now what happened was Yazid got a smell of this. He realized that what's happening. So what did he do? He called Ibn Ziyad. He said, I'm going to give you more and more land to rule over. One of the key points I'd like to give to the viewers of Madhi Channel, to ourselves and all of us. The cause, you know, these people are claiming to be Muslim. And why are they going against the Muslims? It's the power of greed, Sayyid Saab. Mm-hmm. Love of the world, love of power and authority, maal and encompassing so much wealth. It blinds a person that you don't even realize to such an extent that the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ is in front of you. And still you are blinded by, you know, oh, this is my wage, this is my position, my status, I have to do this, I'm forced to. This was the excuse of the Yazidi army, but this excuse was unacceptable. Everybody has rational faculty and ability to understand what's right, what's wrong, no matter what position you are in. So anywho, Ibn Ziyad, he comes in a very sly individual, very cunning. What he did was he came at the time of Maghrib at night. So when obviously it wasn't day, it was nighttime, and he wrapped himself in Hijazi clothing. It was Arab clothing, you can simply say. And he covered himself and he came into the city of Kufa. The people of Kufa saw the clothing and thought it was Imam Hussein. They are shouting slogans like Marhaba, Yabna Rasulillah. Welcome, O son of the Messenger of Allah. But they didn't know that this was Ibn Ziyad until he got to the governor's house. And then one of his companions said to the people, this is Ibn Ziyad. He removed the veil and people were disappointed, were distraught. They went back into their homes. He went to the governor's house. Then he started threatening people. First of all, he relinquished Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir from the position of being governor by the command of Yazid. So he had the authority then. So Nu'man bin Bashir, he went away. Yazid ibn Ziyad, he came onto this position. Now he started threatening the people, the local tribe members, and all these people who are related to Muslim bin Aqil and who were his supporters. He started threatening them with all types of, you know, threats according to their life, family, children, you know, all of these things Ibn Ziyad did. And when he was in Kufa, he caused this corruption. And this is what Yazid wanted. Then what happens to Ibn Ziyad, what he does is that obviously he goes and he demands that we find Muslim bin Aqil. He needs to be found, he needs to be captured. And then the story continues where Muslim bin Aqil is captured. There's a lot of discussion between the two, the story is detailed. But then what happens is he martyrs Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil very brutally. And then also later on, his two blessed sons are also found and also martyred. And, you know, this is the blinding nature of wealth, Sayyid Saab, and power and authority. That now Ibn Ziyad has taken control of Kufa. All of this has happened. That letter from Muslim bin Aqil has still going to Imam Hussein. Sayyidina Imam Hussein receives the letter. Now he has a point to give to the Sahaba. That look, the letter has come from Muslim bin Aqil, that everything is fine. But actually, obviously, in a few moments, the whole situation turned. We know in the narrations, thousands of people placed their hand on Muslim bin Aqil's hand. When it was time for one of the prayers, Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil is leading the prayer. And there are loads of people, rows of people behind him. As soon as he finishes the salam, there is nobody left behind him.
Allah.
The treacherous nature, the cowardice nature of the Kufans is a hallmark in history. They have that mark on them for the rest of history.
Allah.
That they betrayed the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something which, again today, we will realize that Sayyidina Imam Hussein then sets off with his family from Makkah, now intending to come to Kufa, and then the whole incident will entail afterwards.
Ji, Kaleem bhai, kya kahan tak sunay, kahan tak bataein?
Muslim bin Aqil, radiyallahu ta'ala, who is the paternal cousin of Imam Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala, it's mentioned regarding him that when he was captured, he became a bit emotional. And the people who captured him thought that he was scared for his life. Or this is why he's crying, this is why he's become emotional. Muslim bin Aqil, he expressed that this emotion is not because you've captured me or I'm fearful of my fate. As Bilal bhai put it, the letter that's being sent back, Muslim bin Aqil is concerned regarding that letter. That look how quickly circumstances have changed. Look how quickly the Kufans have become disloyal. And it's an Arabic saying that Al-Kufi la Yufi, that they're not loyal, the Kufans. So he's worried and he's concerned that my letter is yet to reach Imam Hussein radiallahu anh. I'm about to be martyred. Imam Hussein will not get news of this until much later. I fear now for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. This was going through Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiyallahu anhu's mind. He attained martyrdom. So he was one of the first. He was the first, in fact, to attain martyrdom. Thereafter, Imam Hussein, when he receives the letter, and he is not aware of what's actually taking place now, he sets off with the pure Ahlul Bayt, alayhim ridwan. As we heard, the Sahaba, Kibar Sahaba, they tried their utmost to encourage the Imam to not go. If you go there, then they will turn against you. They have a history of doing that. They did that with your father. They did that with Imam Hassan. You know, there's a history. And Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhu, as was mentioned, he knew that if he didn't go, this could be used against him, hujjat against him, that people are telling him to come and they'll give bay'ah to him. He is worthy. Yazid is not worthy. Yazid is unqualified. How can he remain in Makkah al-Mukarramah when this is the case? Tyranny will continue. Oppression will continue. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala makes that decision. He leaves al-Makkah al-Mukarramah. Only afterwards, when he's reached those lands, Kufa and then obviously beyond to Karbala, he realizes what's happened, what's actually the case, that Imam Muslim bin Aqil so brutally was martyred. And he realizes that the Kufans were treacherous in this manner. And Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, in his wisdom, didn't mention to the people in the Qafila, the people who were with him, straight away that this has happened. Because people began to join their Qafila as well. Until there came a point where Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu mentioned that this has actually occurred. Imam Muslim bin Aqil, who I sent, and then he sent me a letter saying, you know, everything's fine. It's as you know, they were saying they were willing to pledge allegiance. But now the situation has completely changed. Muslim bin Aqil has been martyred. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's recorded by scholars, historians, that at that time, many of the Kufans, many of the other people who began to join the caravan, they became fearful for their own selves and they left. Meaning they were not loyal. They were not loyal. And Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu was left with his family members, those few people who accompanied him, who were loyal, who were true lovers of the great Imam radiallahu anhu, and they were willing to sacrifice themselves as well. And on the way, whenever they were confronted by Yazidis, the Yazidi armies, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, one beautiful aspect of this journey was that even at the height of oppression, the height of hardship, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala never left the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the amal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that he continued to invite them towards the haqq. So many khutbat are recorded where Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu said to them, do you not know who I am? Do you not know who my grandfather is? Do you not know who my father was? You're paving your way to the hellfire. What are you doing over this dunya? As Bilal bhai put it, over this dunya, you're willing to cause nuqsan to your akhirah. Time and time again. But their intoxication for worldly power, worldly greed, this had reached its peak. Now, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, finally on this journey, he reaches the plain of Karbala. And when he reaches the plain of Karbala, and he realizes this is that place, and this is where he mentions that this is Maqtalu Rijalina.
Allah.
This is the place where our men will be martyred. This is that place. Now, what we have to remember is, in this qafila, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu has women of the Ahlul Bayt. He has his sons, he has his nephews. He has a child, Ali Askar, who's 6 months old.
Allah.
He has a daughter, Sakina, young daughter. Now, you can imagine those who have children at home. When our child is hungry, they cry out to us, oh, I'm hungry, can I have some food? And when they just say that in that tone of voice, you know, we feel bad. Oh, my child's hungry. I need to quickly rush to the kitchen, make something. And here Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, when the water is stopped, so many times, the daughter Sakina radiallahu anha, she's saying, al-atash, al-atash, meaning thirst,
Allah.
Immense thirst, a young child. Then you have Ali Askar. The scholars write that Sakina would cry, you know, hours on end, because she's thirsty. And in that situation, it just goes to show how wretched the enemy were.
Allah.
But they also knew that these were not ordinary people. These were the family members of Mawla Ali radiallahu anhu. Just as he was Asadullah al-Ghalib, just as Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu was a lion of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most courageous. that these people who have come, we cannot just send a similar number of people towards them. So Ibn Ziyad commanded that 22,000 people approximately, fighters, warriors, fully equipped and armed, be sent to combat the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. Inshallah, we will continue discussing, but whilst there, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, it's recorded, continued praying his salah, despite the circumstances. The women folk of his family, they were consoling each other, they were making dua, they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens today is, the slightest bit of difficulty enters our life, the first thing, ma'adallah, that many people do is leave salah. They look for cures and remedies elsewhere.
Allah.
But Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu showed on this journey that when your back is against the wall, it feels like you're helpless.
Okay.
That is the moment where you should bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I have left everything to you, that you will help me out of this situation. And it's recorded that they didn't wail. They didn't say, why have we come here? Nobody expressed that. So throughout, there were mountains of istiqamah. Mountains of istiqamah. Again, they did not want war. Even whilst there, this was the other side who wanted war, who were bloodthirsty, ma'adullah. Imam Hussein still wanted to dialogue. But then there came a stage where on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, that day was destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the war took place. And we will hear how the courageous Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, they killed one after the other of the enemies. Some scholars even write that the enemies expressed that if they are able to get some water, then what will become of us? Meaning this is without water. This is without badahir energy. This is being starved for days on end. But if they somehow manage to get water or nourishment, then they will, you know, cleanse the earth of us. So the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, right till the end, upholding the deen of Allah, the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for their sake, for the sacrifices that they made, give us tawfiq to make sacrifices for
them. Inshallah, we'll take a package and then I will be back soon, inshallah.
Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once passed by a shepherd. He gave salam to him, and the shepherd was so loving because Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gifted him a sheep. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, are you a slave or are you a free person? And he says that I am a slave. So Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that, I'm sorry, but I cannot take your sheep. He smiled and he says that, Ya Sayyidi, this sheep belongs to me. This is in my custody. I wish to give this to you. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so pleased with that shepherd that he went to the owner of that slave and he bought the slave and all of the sheep that he had. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought all of them and he freed that slave and he gave all the sheep to that person. Subhanallah. These people, they did not have the fear of losing wealth. Why? Because they knew that when you give in the path of Allah, Allah will give you more. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, let's all take this lesson from Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he comes to giving in charity, when he comes to giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will not shy away. We will inshallah Azza wa Jal give that wealth in the way of Allah which is more beloved to me. That is why Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Quran that give that wealth that you love the most in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal give me and all of us the ability to act upon this beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we could give more and Allah Azza wa Jal could increase our wealth as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ji Bilal bhai.
Sayyid Sahab, there was a lot of detail that we obviously missed out because of lack of time, but now we are in the plains of Karbala. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he actually wishes to speak to Ibn Sa'd, who was one of the obviously chiefs there, who was actually looking over the soldiers. And he said, I want to speak to you in private. So Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions this and he says, that's fine. So then at night, it was approximately 20 horsemen on both sides that they went together in a certain location. And then they separated from their men, and it was just Sayyidina Imam Hussein and Ibn Sa'd. In this particular arrangement, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu actually gives them three choices. Like, we'll give you three different options, and you know, this we can be saved from you basically it going to battle and it going to war. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu says that first of all, the first proposition is to let us go back, because you know, obviously the Kufans are actually treacherous, and now we know that they actually don't want this, so now we will just go back. That was one thing. Second, he mentioned in the books that Imam Hussein said that we will be offered to be taken to a certain border region where we can stay there peacefully. And the third was that we would actually be taken to Yazid in Damascus and then speak to him there. Now, this particular arrangement that was does mention, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu is trying to find a way so that there's no battle that takes place. Obviously, because who would bring his family to such a place, and you know, with the Yazidi army is 22,000 men. One beautiful thing, Sayyid Sahab, and he also shows the cowardice nature of Ibn Ziyad and the people, 22,000 actually fully armored men coming for a battle and a war, and 72 different blessed individuals who are part of family, young children, and a few men and women. If this was actually a battle in any sense of it, you know, why would you bring your children? Why would you bring the women folk? You don't do that. So it's clearly mentioned in the entire scenario, this was never planned out. It was never meant to lead to such a level. So what happened was Ibn Sa'd actually, he liked these propositions. He sent the letter to Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad read these letters as well in Kufa. He read this proposition, and then he actually liked this as well, it mentions. But then what happened? An evil companion, one evil individual, wretched person by the name of Shimr, he begins to incite the flame once again. And he says to Ibn Ziyad that, are you now going to lower your head and humble yourself before Imam Hussein? Before we had entire, you know, let's say like a bird has his claws into the prey. Now we have Imam Hussein surrounded. We have everything like this. Why are you now, you know, going to take a step back? So Shimr gave him evil advice. Obviously, Ibn Ziyad, filled with money and position and wealth, he says that, you know, you gave me good advice. Whereas obviously in turn it wasn't. So he sends a letter back to Ibn Sa'd, and then he sends Shimr with him to the plains of Karbala, making sure that Ibn Sa'd doesn't find a leeway out for the family of the Prophet, but rather more zulm and oppression. So then, obviously, the days of Muharram and of Karbala take place. The family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 days and three nights are without food. And then it is the night of Ashura, the night of the 10th of Muharram. And in this, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu mentions to them that, give me one more night so I can worship my Lord, because my Lord knows how much I love to perform a salah and to remember him. And this was Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu's attachment to ibadat. And we look at the ibadat aspect of Sayyidina Imam Hussein, and you know, he's actually matchless. So Imam Hussein, and they actually, first of all, you know how wretched these people are, Sayyid Sahab? The way of the people back then, if somebody asked for some muhlat, some time, they would give it. But they didn't give it muhlat. But then Sayyidina Hur, again, he was on their side in that moment, Hur ibn Yazid. And he said, no, we're going to give him some muhlat because that's the way it's done. This was why they were so blinded by wealth. So they were given, obviously, the night of the 10th of Muharram, and they worshipped Allah. Even in this night, Sayyid Sahab, there's such a beautiful aspect. Sayyidina Imam Hussein, he addresses his companions and says that these people are only after me. They're after my blood. So you have no basically reason to be here, in essence. If you would like to go back to Medina, there's no problem against me. I have nothing against that. But each one of them, of the family of the Prophet, and even the non-Hashimi, the blessed friends and companions, they were there and they mentioned their sentiments. And Sayyidina Imam Hussein, we can't do this. We're not going to leave you here. We don't even want to live knowing that you will be passed and we will hand you over to the enemy. So they gave all their sentiments, and Imam Hussein was eyes filled with tears, you know, thanking Allah for, you know, the companions that are with him as well. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the day of the 10th of Muharram arrives. And then as per the battle was and the way it was to go into battle in the past, it was one-on-one battling. So one person from that enemy, one person from this blessed side would fight it out, and whoever wins would go back. This is what happened in the beginning. And what happened? The family of the Prophet, 3 days hungry.
Allah.
3 days without any water. Completely cleaning house, as they say in English.
Allah.
Wiping the floor, destroying the Yazidi army. Remember, these are actual army soldiers, but they don't understand who they are, right? This is the family of the Prophet. The blood of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Lion of Allah, running through the veins. Completely, one by one. When the battle was one by one, they were completely, the numbers of the Yazidi army were going down and down. But what happened? They realized that if this continues in this format and the formal way that it is to battle, we will lose. There won't be anyone left. And this is why, like Ustaz mentioned, they didn't allow a single drop of water to go to the family of the Prophet. They said, if they have water, we will be completely wiped out.
Allah.
Just water, not even food. And this is the family of the Prophet. This is their bravery. This is their determination. And this is their ability to stand up for the truth. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, the blessed companions, many different people. Sayyidina Hur, who was on the side of Yazid, he saw, before the battle actually took place, he saw, and he said to Ibn Asad and these other people that, are you actually going to go to war with the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He never thought that it would go to that level, that extent. So he said, are you serious? Then he told them that I'm going to go to Imam Hussein and speak to him. Imam Hussein, he goes to Imam Hussein and he does tawbah on the hands of Imam Hussein. He seeks forgiveness. He says, oh great Imam, I didn't know that these people had this evil intention. And this is why, you know, I kept you here in the plains of Karbala. I didn't know that it was going to go to this level where they were going to come after your blood. Sayyidina Hud seeks tawbah, forgiveness at the hands of Sayyidina Imam Hussein. Sayyidina Imam Hussein forgives him. And Sayyidina Hud said that, I want to be the first one to go out in battle on your side. Allah. And this is why today Sayyidina Hud has the mazar and he is remembered with words of praise because he was the one who didn't look at authority, didn't look at wealth, position and power, but he looked at what is right. The right is might. Not might is right. Meaning the Yazidi army, they had might, they had the power and authority, right? They had the weaponry as well. But this is not what wins. Might is not right, but rather right, the haq, the truth, being on the truth. That is the true power and strength. And this is what the family of the Prophet shown. If you look at the details, it was just one slashes at times from the family of the Prophet and the companions. And the entire Yazidi army would be shaken in their boots. This was the power of the family of the Prophet. And now when you look, going further, it's up. So then how did they start passing away? Obviously, they started breaking the official rules. Instead of one-on-one, it became 100-on-1.
Allah.
100 of them fully sold with arrows, bows and everything, spears against one of them. And then the family of the Prophet, the blessed companions, and then the nephews of Sayyidina Imam Hussein fought. Until Sayyidina Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the eldest son of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, is about to go into battle. Sayyidina Imam Hussein is putting on the armor on his own son. And he knows the reality what's going to happen.
Allah.
But if we look at this aspect, Sayyidina Ali Akbar radiallahu anhu is first and foremost, he's there. He wants to be there. He wants to go before his father goes out. He wants to defend Islam. He wants to defend the true image of Islam. So Sayyidina Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes out. And there is one particular case. There's a lot of points. But on one, there was one Yazidi individual who had four sons. And he mentions to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, he mentions to actually Ibn Sa'd. And he says, why are you sending these villagers? And he was disrespecting his own Yazidi army. Because they were getting wiped out. And there was no way that they were surviving. He said, send one of my sons. And he was actually well trained in hand-to-hand combat. But as soon as his eldest son came, Sayyidina Ali Akbar, one slash, and he completely into half.
Allah.
And he was completely embarrassed. He got angry. He sent his other sons one by one. Sayyidina Ali Akbar, 3 days hungry. 3 days without even a drop of water. Still working, still fighting, still defending.
Subhanallah.
And he wipes them out, even the father of them is completely wiped out. Then no doubt this is what happens. At times it got to 1,000-on-1 as well. 1,000-on-1. And this is Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Then a time came when Sayyidina Ali Akbar came to the ground and he called out to his father. Sayyidina Imam Hussein is picking up his blessed son, taking him back to camp, wiping the blessed dust from his blessed face.
Allah.
And he's proud of his son. And then his son is smiling at his father and his soul leaves his body. Allah. Sayyidina Ali Akbar passes away. Then the incident, Sayyidina Ali Asghar, the young 6-month-old child, the blessed wife of Sayyidina Imam Hussein request to Sayyidina Imam Hussein, show them that we have a 6-month-old child. Maybe they'll have some mercy and give some water. And don't give it to me, but at least give it to the young child. He takes them to the Yazidi army, showing them that this child has done nothing wrong to you. This child will not stand up against you, even if you give him some water. But then the evil and wretched people did what they did. They fired the arrow, and Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Ali Asghar, the 6-month-old child, passes away. And now the father taking his son back to the camp, back to the mother. And this is, you know, heart-rending, but this is, look at the sacrifices, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Today, what do we sacrifice for the deen? We sacrifice the deen for the dunya. But look at the family, look at the lesson that the family of the Prophet are giving. They are sacrificing everything of the dunya, their own relation and family, for the protection of the deen. This is the lesson of Karbala. This is what we must remember, how brave and courageous this family was and how they set a very powerful example. Then finally, it was Sayyidina Imam Hussein's final turn to go, the last individual to go. Obviously, Imam Zainul Abideen, Sayyidina Ali Awsat, was unwell. And he even stood up in the camp and said, "Oh, my father, let me go. Let me go before you." And Sayyidina Imam Hussein says, "No, my dear son, you need to stay here. You need to look after, who's going to look after your mothers and your sisters once I am gone? And you are my heir, you are going to continue my lineage." And Sayyidina, and the advice that Sayyidina Imam Hussein gives to Sayyidina Ali Awsat, very powerful advice. He says, "Adhere always, remain steadfast upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to the rules of the Sharia, stay firm upon the religion." This is the final advice Sayyidina Imam Hussein gave to his son. Now we need to take this advice on ourselves as well. Sayyidina Ali Awsat goes back down. Imam Hussein puts on the armor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has the sword Zulfikar of his honorable father. He has different weaponries now with him, and he is now going to the battle. And again, Sayyidina Imam Hussein, like Usata mentioned previously, was always lecturing the Yazidi army so that they don't have an excuse on the Day of Judgment that, "Oh, we didn't know what was, you know, the Yazidi army was like, oh, this is our, you know, tankha, this is our wage, this is our position, we don't know right from wrong." Sayyidina Imam Hussein clearly mentioned that, "I am the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Not only this, in one narration, Imam Hussein says, "I am the grandson of the only Prophet left on the earth."
Allah.
Any Prophet that has come, I am the only grandson of any Prophet that's left. Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu speaks to the people, tells the Yazidi army, and even mentions in the books that even the Yazidi army began to tear eye. They begin to cry and their eyes were welling up with tears because they again knew the reality of the situation. But my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyidina Imam Hussein goes into battle. He fights as much as he can. And then Sayyidina Imam Hussein again eventually coming against hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of the army. Sayyidina Imam Hussein is martyred and passes away on the plains of Karbala. And it was on this moment, because this martyrdom was already destined. Even when Sayyidina Imam Hussein was born, we all know the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to Sayyida Umme Fadl radiallahu anha, that in one narration, the angel of the sama, of the sky, brings the soil of Karbala. And she places it into one of the vessels. And the Prophet ﷺ said that when this sand and soil turns into blood, then Sayyidina Imam Hussein would have passed away.
Allah.
And she, when this actually happened and she saw this, then she checked the time as well. And it matched exactly at the time when Imam Hussein had passed away.
Allah.
The passing away of Sayyidina Imam Hussein, the martyrdom, the sacrifice for the religion was always known. The family of the Prophet, you know, today Sayyidina, we have a wird. Ya Wahhabu, 7 times, you become mustajab al-da'awat. But look at the family of the Prophet. They knew this was going to happen. It's because of them that our du'as are accepted. The family of the Prophet. And now they not even once in their lifetime requested, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, please avert this difficulty." Because this test that was to befall the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to take place so that the ummah can understand the messages of Karbala. How important it is that we must sacrifice everything else, but never sacrifice the deen. Never put the deen at a second place. And this is what we need to take away from the lesson of Karbala. Sayyidina Imam Hussein passes away, and the events that lead after this, the people, the Yazidi army, and all of those, later on a ruler comes and he hunts all of them down. They all die very horrible and, you know, very bad deaths. You know, such where their limbs are mutilated, their bodies are burned to such degrees, you know. But what we need to understand is the lessons of Karbala, Sayyid Sahab. We mention all of these things not to just for a bit of pleasure or anything. You don't get no pleasure in this. This is always sad to mention. But what we need to understand is the messages of Karbala. That today, what are we sacrificing for the deen? Are we even sacrificing our comforts? Today we can't even get up on time for namaz and we are call ourselves Husseini. Unfortunately, the way of the Yazid is unfortunately the way of many of us today. And we say that we are followers of Imam Hussein. So we have to protect. Imam Hussein will live forever. His remembrance will live forever. And this is why we give our salams to Imam Hussein.
As-salam ya Hussein, as-salam ya Hussein, as-salam ya Hussein, jil ko dhoke se kufe bulaya gaya, jin ko baithe bithaye sataya gaya, jil ko dhoke se kufe fe bulaya gaya, jin ko baithe bithaye sataya gaya, jin ke bachon ko pyaasa rulaya gaya, jin ki gardan pe khanjar chalaya gaya, us Hussain ibn Haydar pe laakhon salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, as-salam ya Hussain, as-salam ya Hussain, as-salam ya Hussain, jil ka jannat se joda magaya gaya, jin ko to shin bhi pe bithaya gaya, jil ka jannat se joda magaya gaya, jin ko to shin bhi pe bithaya gaya, zeher bhai ke jis ko pilaya gaya, jis ko teeron se chalne karaya gaya, us Hussain ibn Haydar pe laakhon salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, as-salam ya Hussain, as-salam ya Hussain, as-salam ya Hussain, jisne haq Karbala mein ata kar diya, apne nana ka vaada wafa kar diya, jisne haq Karbala mein ata kar diya, apne nana ka vaada wafa kar diya, sab kuch ummat ki khatir fida kar diya, ghar ka ghar sab se parde khuda kar diya, us Hussain ibn Haydar pe laakhon salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, as-salam ya Hussain, as-salam ya Hussain, as-salam ya Hussain, kar chuka wo abhi apni hojat tamam, leke Allah aur apne nana ka naam, kar chuka wo abhi apni hojat tamam, leke Allah aur apne nana ka naam, kufiyon ko sunaye khuda ka kalam, aur fida ho gaya wo wahi tishna kaam, us Hussain ibn Haydar pe laakhon salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, mere Hussain tujhe salaam, As-salam, ya Hussain, as-salam, ya Hussain, as-salam, ya Hussain, as-salam, ya Hussain.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Kaleem bhai, you have 7 to 8 minutes, inshallah, and then we'll move on to end, inshallah.
Still left amazed, mashallah.
Many things, yes.
Our Honorable Bilal Bhai's
beautifully explained
explanation.
Things,
amazing. And there were many things that we couldn't mention. The valor, the bravery, the courage. We haven't even spoken about Aun and Muhammad.
Allah.
Meaning,
Allah.
These were youngsters who you had to assist them in sitting on a ride. But they said, we want to go.
Allah.
We want to go on the battlefield. And when the enemy saw how these two youngsters were annihilating the Yazidi army, who are these courageous men? I mean, they didn't realize that they were youngsters, but they had hearts of lions. And that was the case for the entire Ahlul Bayt, alayhim ridwan, who were on the plains of Karbala, that when you're sincere to the cause, then you receive the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know, as Bilal Bhai said, up until it was one on one, the Yazidis had no chance whatsoever.
That's right.
So they had to resort to evil tactics and other ways. But as we also mentioned, this was destined. Now, what do we learn from this? And we should reflect. Every single time we are able to drink water, and many times a day, we should remember the sacrifices of those in Karbala. Every single time, for example, our daughters, we give a daughter a glass of water. We should remember the thirst of Sakina. Meaning those sacrifices. You can't just relate these accounts and not remember those sacrifices. Every time we are able to do sajda without any difficulty, we should remember the sacrifices of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Meaning, you could say if Imam Hussein didn't take the stand that he took then, maybe it would be a different picture altogether today. Meaning right now, alhamdulillah, Islam is flourishing. More and more people are entering Islam daily. It's the fastest growing religion on earth. We know that. Nearly 2 billion, according to the statistics, 2 billion followers. Now, all of this is the sadaqah of Karbala. Because what does it say? Islam zinda hota hai.
Har Karbala. Har Karbala.
And what Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu showed on the battlefield, sabr, istiqamat. Every time a sister today places a hijab on her head, she should remember the sacrifices of the women of the Ahlul Bayt. Not once did they forgo or abandon the parda, the veil. We know that the Yazidis resorted to very evil and bad ways. Ma'azallah, they even disrespected the honorable women. But they themselves, as much as possible, they clinged on to the Sharia of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not even letting a single hair be seen by a na-mahram. So all of these lessons we learn today, if we listen to the waqi of Karbala, and then we do the complete opposite. We do what Yazid was doing. Then how can we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, now is the time. The question is, the final question is, are we true Husaynis? Or is our nafs Ammara inclined to the way of Yazid?
Chief.
Meaning that the nafs Ammara is, but are we going to be overpowered? Today, this is the test that we have. And Amir al-Sunnah, Da'am Barakatim al-Aliya, subhanAllah, for me personally, he is that personality who opened our eyes in this regard. That are you a Husayni or Ma'adallah Yazidi? And your kirdar, your character, your actions will define that. If somebody doesn't forgo music, if somebody is addicted to all these wrongdoings, and then he says, I'm a Husayni, then it's just merely a claim.
Okay.
It's not true.
Okay.
True claimants are those who, subhanAllah, just like Imam Hussein, into the early hours of the nights and they're still worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently, I was reading about Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi alayhi, a true Husayni. And we know how much he did for the deen. Just one, very briefly. Because of one particular reason, he had to overstay a night at the house of Alama Muhaddis Ali Surti, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Normally, when your departure is delayed, you think, let me have some rest. Next day, I'm traveling. Allah has spent the entire night studying a particular book. And in the morning, he gave the book back to the Muhaddis Sahab. Muhaddis Sahab said, you may need this for future reference. Allah has said, I won't need it now because Allah. I've memorized every single word.
Subhanallah.
And I've read it. But look, this is a true expression of Husayniyat. Studying the deen, doing amal on the deen, sacrificing for the deen. And this day and age, if anyone has opened our eyes in this regard, then truly it's Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Bakatmul Aliyah. That sacrifice is required from us. We can't always take the back seat and think someone else will fill it. Someone else will fill that role. Allah Ta'ala will take work from whoever He wants. But why don't we put ourselves forward? Sorry. Why don't we honor ourselves and have this sa'ada of serving the deen? May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accept what has been said in today's episode and give us tawfiq to follow in the way of Imam Hussain.
Ameen. Okay, the claims are easy to make, but proving those claims are very tough.
Allah.
It's not easy. Why this when the month of Muharram starts and we look these slogans and the Husseinis starting announcing their love. And as soon as this month ends, everything finished. Where the love gone? Love should be forever. It's not just for the first 10 days or just not stuck only with the month of the Muharram. If you love Imam Hussain, then the throughout your life, you prove this, that you are a true lover of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Kya Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala ever miss his salah?
Allah.
Agar aap baat karte hain, toh phir aap proof de na. Kya unhone kabhi kisi ko dhoka diya? Ye aapne socha hai kabhi aapne ye baat? Kya unhone kisi pe zulm kiya? Ye sari cheeze hame proof karni padengi apni zaat se, apne character se, ki yes, we are a true Husseini. We are the lover of Imam Hussain radi Allahu ta'ala anhu. To tabhi jaakar ye baat banegi. Sirf zabani kalami status pe likhne se sari cheeze nahi ho jayengi. So we need to learn many lessons from there, and especially bring change within yourself, in your family as well, your surrounding. Attach yourself to those who have a true love for Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Especially in front of you, Dawat Islami, Madri channel, look at the life of Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Alaliya. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. True. کہتے ہیں نا کہ آج کے دور میں صحیح آپ کو امام حسین کہ اگر جو ان کے فرامین ان کی چیزوں پر عمل کرتے ہوئے کوئی نظر آ رہے ہیں آپ کو نظر آ رہے ہیں امیر علیہ السنت دامت کو کس طرح آنے والی نسلوں کے اندر ہر صحابی نبی بچہ بچہ نعرے لگا رہا ہر صحابی نبی یہ ڈائیورٹ کرتے جا رہے ہیں جو ہمارا عقیدے ہیں جو ہماری بلیفز ہیں تو یہ ساری چیزیں ہمیں اپنے ساتھ لے کے چلنی پڑیں گی بلال بھائی کیا میسج دیں گے آخر میں
Sir, you mentioned a beautiful point. The life of Sayyidina Imam Hussein, even before Karbala, one point one speaker mentioned very powerful. If these were the entire incident of Karbala completed in approximately 15 days, if this was just 15 days of the life of Imam Hussein, think Allah. About his entire life.
Subhanallah.
Think about his entire life. The sacrifices from birth, Sayyid Saab. He was born at the age of approximately 6 to 7 years old. He loses his grandfather. The first difficulty and loss. His best friend, you can say. Then 6 months later, he loses his mother.
Allah.
Later on in his life, he loses his father. He loses his brother. In the plains of Karbala, he loses each one. We talk about sacrifices today. We talk about losses. We talk about people who we've lost in our life. We talk about difficulties that we're suffering. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But Imam Hussein, whatever he went through in his life, he can most definitely give you pieces of advice. Come and study the life of Sayyidina Imam Hussein. And this is something very powerful. Because when you look at his life, he would always be helping the poor. The family of the Prophet have this innate ability, innate trait. Allah has blessed them due to the sadaqah of the Prophet ﷺ. They are extremely generous. And in his life, Imam Hussein, whatever wealth he had, he would give it to the poor people who come to them. Not only him, his blessed mother, Sayyidah Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha. Like this, the entire family of the Prophet, the way they would deal with people, it's so amazing and it's exemplary, something we can learn a lesson from. How do we treat people? How do we treat our own family members today? A lot of the problems which we have in our society comes from really ourselves, our lack of tolerance and patience, ability to deal with people and people understanding their psyche and bringing everyone back to the message of Islam. Stop going towards your desires and what I feel. You know, what's my judgment on this? You know, he wronged me, so I'm going to wrong him. She did this to me, so I'm going to do this to her. You know, where is Islam in our life? Because that's your own. That's your own, you know, nafsi. That's your own your desires. That's your own judgment. We don't live our life according to our own judgments. We live it according to the way our Prophet ﷺ has given us the guidelines. So Imam Hussein's life, patience, sacrifice, not tolerating the Yazidi way. Saying no to the Yazidi way. How many of us are going to say no to the Yazidi way once we leave this gathering? How many of us watch music, look at haram, listen to haram, missing our namaz, people who are involved in haram actions. All of these actions I just mentioned are all Yazidi actions. Do we say no to them? Do we boycott the Yazidi way? Unfortunately today, if it wasn't for Da'at Islami and the ulama of the Ahl Sunnat, we would be in a dire situation. So this is why Da'at Islami is such a beautiful organization, which gives us this reminder. Come back to the Husseini way, because think about where you're going. You are claiming that you want to go to Medina, but you're actually packing and you're driving towards a different direction. Because today, Sayyid Sahab, we have love for Imam Hussein. But then when we look physically in our life, there's no resemblance. So then what are we doing? Shaitan's blinded us. The nafs-e-ammar, our desires have blinded us. So we have to wake up. We understand what Islam actually wants from us. May Allah Almighty grant us to understand, to learn the lessons of Karbala and act upon them as well.
Harun bhai, any message would you like to?
No doubt, mashallah, very beautifully the whole event was explained. But I just want to touch upon one point, which is that we heard about the extent that Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu and his family members, his companions went to preserve the deen, to leave the legacy behind that they did, to protect and honor the deen, and to give the rest of the world a message that was to live on for generations, and no doubt till the end of times. What are we doing with that? And you know, right now, in the day and age that we live in, you know, we're not being attacked with swords and knives and physically, but ourselves and our families and those around us are being attacked, but in other ways. With the fitnas that are arising around us, with everything that is being whispered into us, being shown to us on our screens, on our mobile phones, etc. So what do? We must save ourselves and our family members from this. And subhanAllah, you know, this correlates very beautifully with the message of Amir Lusan from Dawsami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. And how do we do this? By studying Islam, traditional Islam, the Islam that was left behind by Sayyidina Rasulullah, by his companions, by his Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein radiallahu anh. We must protect ourselves and our children. And we must try to bring ourselves, our family members, those around us closer to the deen. Unfortunately, we're in a state right now where we are very, very distant from the deen. Honestly, Sayyid Sahib, you could go out and you could stop random Muslims and ask them very basic questions about the deen. I'm not even talking about, you know, extra things, just very basics of the Fardul Ayn. And unfortunately, you'll find many who will be speechless, who don't have the answers to this. This is our state, unfortunately. We must bring ourselves closer to the deen, along with our family members, those around us, if we are to succeed in this world and in the hereafter.
Ameen. Today's question, right answer kya hai, chalayenge please. Ji, Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the blessed mother of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah hum sabko Husainiyat کو قائم رکھنے حسینیت پہ چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے کیپ واچنگ مدنی چینل صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah